Good. Well, good morning, church, again. Shabbat shalom. What a nice lot you are. Look at you. Okay. Let's pray, shall we? Father, I thank you for your children. I thank you that we can come together without fear. So many can't. We can come together without fear and we can worship you in whatever way you have gifted us. Father, please speak to us. Lord, let your Spirit be our teacher. Show us new things. Bring us new revelation. Bless us with these things. And help us, Father, to bless you in everything that we do and we say. Lord, we want to be a blessing to you, Lord God. You are worthy. You so wanted to have us with you that you went to the cross for us because we weren't worthy to be with you. Your Son, he came, became like us. He shed all his blood in the most appalling way so that we could be with you forever. You love us. And we are so grateful. Father, come and speak to us. Lord, in my weakness, be strong. May your people hear your word. And may they not hear anything I say which is not your word. So, Father, we thank you for a new day. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, well, as I outlined last night, this is mainly what we're going to do today. To identify misunderstandings, non-understandings, that come out of looking at the Bible from a Greek perspective that ignores the Hebraic context. Let us first remind ourselves, though, of God's glorious purposes for Israel in the kingdom. Time when they will all know the Lord, from the least of them to the greatest. When they will finally become a light to the Gentiles. It occurs to me that there are many problems in the church today, apart from the fact that people don't believe that God's word is God's word. And it always in a way, I was going to say amuses me, but it's actually not amusing at all, but intrigues me that people try to bring up with proofs of the inerrancy, the origin of the Bible. And there are many. But for me, I'm sure like you, our God is God. You know, he speaks and things happen. Not little things. Universes happen. Let there be. There was. Almighty God. All-knowing God. All-present God. How difficult is it for this God to make sure that what he wanted to be in this book is in this book? Do we stand by faith or sight? This is God's word. But apart from that, one of the things that I find that causes confusion is the ignorance of that most important concept, biblical concept, called covenant. Not only do people not understand what covenant is, and there are several types of covenant, but I'm talking about the covenant, the blood covenant. Not only do they not understand what the word means and the importance of the concept itself, but they don't understand the contents of the covenant. Because if they did, they would know that our God doesn't go back on his promises, especially if they're covenant promises. I can count something like 8 covenants in the Bible. 5 of them were made with the Jewish people. 5 of them. Of those 5, 4 are unconditional. That means that it doesn't matter how bad you are or how bad I am, he will still do what he promised he would do, which is why all Israel will be saved. Which is why we shouldn't have any fear that he, by his mercy and his amazing grace, has brought our spirits alive to him, that we're not going to be with him. We are secure in the promises of God because his gifts and his election are irrevocable. Why have I gone on to this? Anyway, it's quite important, don't you think? And these are the causes why the church has gone astray, or some of them. Anyway, I digress. Where was I? Yes, finally, the Jewish people will become a light to the Gentiles. This was, of course, part of the sacred calling of the Jewish people, to be a light to the nations, to declare God's praises among the peoples, to make him known to the nations, to proclaim what God has done, to be, in that sense a missionary religion. Psalm 96, for instance, it says this, "Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns." And again, "Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all the peoples." Paul, you know Paul, a Hebrew of Hebrews, he understood this mandate. He understood it well as he brought the light of the Jewish scriptures to the Gentiles. In Romans 15, for instance, quoting the Old Testament, he writes, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people," quoting Deuteronomy 32:43. And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praises to him, all you peoples," Psalm 117:1. So the day is coming and will come when all Israel will be saved and the nation will truly become that light to the Gentiles that God had all along intended her to be. Now, a prophetic example of this can be found in the book of Zechariah. So let's do that. Let's take a look. Turn then, please, to the book of Zechariah. It is in the Old Testament. Because we are people of the Bible, not just people of the New Testament, are we? Okay, the book of Zechariah. The book starts with a date. The second year of Darius, that was about 520 BC, and the introduction of the writer, Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo. The only reason I mention this is that because I am convinced that word plays are God's favorite pastime. The Bible's full of them. And we miss them at our loss. And of course, one of the reasons we miss them is we don't look at the scriptures from a Hebrew perspective. Because a lot of these things are, if you like, lost in translation. Anyway, what does Zechariah mean in Hebrew? Anyone knows? The Lord remembers. The Lord remembers. Berechiah, his father, means the Lord blesses. And Edo, his grandfather, means his time. His time. Put them together and you get the Lord remembers and blesses in his time. Which is actually what a lot of the book of Zechariah is about. The Lord remembers. There's a lot of prophecy. He will bless. He will do it in his time. And all Israel will be saved. So anyway, the theme of the book is the eternal word of God. The eternal word of God. It's well illustrated in verse 6 at the beginning there, where God says that the words he spoke through the prophets did overtake them, i.e. were fulfilled. In captivity, the fathers had to acknowledge that the word of God had been fulfilled in their lives. The fathers had passed away, not so the word of God. They learned the truth of Isaiah 40, verse 8, that the people are like grass which fades, like flowers which go, yet the word of God stands forever. The book starts with eight visions in chapters 1 to 6, but it's the fifth vision that I want to look at this morning, because it became quite personal to me some 15 years ago, more or less. But I'll come back to that later. Okay, the point of this vision, this fifth vision, is that through the work of the Holy Spirit, Israel will become a witness to the world. So, turn then, please, to the chapter 4 of Zechariah. Chapter 4, verses 1 to 14. Does anyone have a New King James Version? Thank you. You want to read it? Who said yes? You said yes. Okay. Danny, could we have a mic? Please.
Now the angel who talks with me came back and wakened me as a man who is wakened out of his sleep. And he said to me, "What do you see?" So I said, "I am looking, and there is a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it. And on the stand, seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. Two olive trees are by it, one at the right of the bowl, and the other at its left." So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, "What are these, my lord?" Then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, "Do you not know what these are?" And I said, "No, my lord." So he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it." Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands shall also finish it. then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? For these seven rejoiced to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord, which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth. Then I answered and said to him, what are these two olive trees at the right of the lampstand and at its left? And I further answered and said to him, what are these two olive branches that drip into the receptacles of the two gold pipes from which the golden oil drains? Then he answered and answered me and said, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. So he said, these are the two anointed ones who stand beside the Lord of the whole earth.
Amen. Thank you, Nancy. Thank you very much. Okay. Let's have a little summary first. The vision contains a personal message to Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel is the civil leader of Israel. He'd been frustrated over the rebuilding of the temple, whose foundations had been laid in Ezra chapter 3 and verse 8. Rebuilding forcibly ceased due to legal opposition. Opposition from the enemy initially in Ezra chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. Now, 15 years had passed. The opposition had vanished, and Zerubbabel's frustration was due to the apathy of the people. The message is to encourage him concerning the completion of the temple. The problem wasn't with him, but with the people. And the vision deals with the eventual restoration of the Jewish state as it is filled with the Holy Spirit. In verse 1, we read of the return of the angel to waken Zechariah, meaning this is a new vision, the fifth, in fact. And to understand the vision, we need to know that the lampstand was used as a symbol of Israel. Israel, which was to be the light to the nations, to the Gentiles. Isaiah 62, verses 1 and 2 says this, quote, for Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet till her righteousness goes forth as brightness, her salvation like a lamp that burns. The nations will see your righteousness and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow, unquote. Do you know what that new name will be? What? No. It will be Yahweh Shammah. The Lord is there, which you find in Ezekiel 48 in verse 35. In fact, if I remember correctly, it's the very last line of the book. Okay, the lampstand was also a symbol of the Messiah as the light to the Gentiles in Isaiah 42:6 and 49:6, as I'm sure you know. Now, without going into too much detail, because obviously time doesn't permit, and there's a clock ticking at the back there, let me just say that quite a bit of Zechariah is based on Daniel. And the 49 ducts, 7 times 7, the 49 ducts represent the first seven sevens of Daniel's prophecy, Daniel 9:25, the 49-year period it took to rebuild Jerusalem. The bowl contains the oil supplied by the two olive trees on either side of the lampstand. They represent the inexhaustible supply of oil, which is the main ingredient, the common element. What is the oil a symbol of? Holy Spirit. So what Zechariah sees in this vision is a lampstand, i.e. Israel, filled with oil. It's Israel as a saved nation. i.e. full of the Spirit, fulfilling its calling in the Messianic kingdom to be a light to the Gentiles. Then Zechariah receives a message for Zerubbabel, quote, not by might, physical power, not nor by power, mental power, but by my Spirit. The work will be accomplished by the Holy Spirit. What work? First, the temple, and secondly, the establishment of Israel. How often has Israel boasted, we did it? But God's answer is, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. Then God promises Zerubbabel that the mighty mountain will become level ground. What mountain? Whenever the word mountain is used symbolically, it always means either a king, a kingdom, or a throne. Here, the king who was responsible for stopping the reconstruction of the temple was Cambyses II. But he committed suicide, apparently, near Mount Carmel on his way back to Babylon from Egypt. He was succeeded by Darius. Darius was the one who gave permission to restart the building of the wall. Not by might, nor by power. 15 years earlier, Zerubbabel laid the foundation stone, and now God says he did. Ezra 6:14-15. Did it with shouts of grace. Hebrew for grace is hen. Unmerited favor, confirming that it was God's doing by my Spirit. The foundation was much, but don't despise the days of small beginnings. Even though Zerubbabel's temple wasn't much, it would be transformed by Herod into one of the most magnificent things that even Solomon's did not compare. This was the temple that Messiah was going to come to, according to Malachi 3:1. And as you know, he did. Even this could, in a way, be seen as a small beginning compared to the glory of the second coming, by which time, of course, all Israel will be saved, glorified, and become a light to the Gentiles. Isaiah 60:1-3. Okay, so there you are. Now finally, what about these two olive trees? After asking twice, he finally gets an answer. Quote, these are the two anointed ones who stand by the Lord of the whole earth, unquote. More literally, these are the two oiled ones that stand by the Lord. The actual fulfillment of this is to be found in the tribulation. Revelation chapter 11, verses 3 and 4 tells us that these two olive trees represent the two witnesses. And somehow they are the source of the Holy Spirit for Israel. Something that is then explained in the whole passage, verses 3-13 in Revelation. After the two witnesses' resurrection and ascension, 7,000 die in Jerusalem. But the remainder gave glory to God. This is the beginning of the work of the Holy Spirit to bring about the salvation of Israel. This is the third sign of Jonah. The one Israel's leaders will finally accept, having rejected the first two. What were they? The resurrection of Lazarus and of Jesus himself. The sign of Jonah is the sign of resurrection, as Jesus explains in Matthew 12:39-40. That was the time when the leadership of Israel had rejected the messiahship of Jesus on the grounds of demon possession, you remember. And we're now asking to see a miraculous sign. And what did Jesus say? He answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given, except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." But now, in the middle of the tribulation, the two witnesses are resurrected on the third day by God's grace. Finally, Israel accepts the sign of Jonah, and the work of the Spirit will continue through the second half of the tribulation, by the end of which all Israel will be saved. And of course, Jesus can't come back until Israel is saved. "You will not see me again until you say, Baruch Hava Abashem Adonai. Eh? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Where does that come from? Psalm 118 is the most messianic of psalms. Apparently, is the chapter that falls in the middle of the book, or of the Bible, so I'm told. Anyway, so here too we can see we shouldn't despise the days of small beginnings. When the two witnesses started witnessing the day of small beginnings, then, not by might, nor by power, but by the work of the Holy Spirit, all Israel will be saved and become a witness to the whole world. "But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet till her righteousness goes forth as brightness, her salvation like a lamp that burns. The Gentiles shall see your righteousness, and all kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. Yahweh Shammah, the Lord is there. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn." Nations will come to your light. Your light, the light of that menorah, the light of that lampstand. The idea of that the illumination of the scriptures can only be properly found in their Hebrew context was to have a significant impact on my Christian life. Does anyone know where the Greek island of Santorini is? Have you ever been there? Anyone? No? Okay. Santorini is one of those Greek islands. It's a volcanic island. Is where that awful eruption took place some 3,000 years ago or so. That, you know, totally changed things about. And Sarah and I went there on holiday. I can't remember exactly, but something like 15 years ago or so. Now, my wife seeks the sun. I seek the shade. We have a problem. So I said, while my wife is seeking the sun in Santorini, what am I going to do in the shade. And I thought, as I'm sure you would, I will study the book of Zechariah. That's what would you all do, right? In the shade, under the fig tree, that sort of thing. So anyway, that's what I decided to do. So Sarah goes to the beach in the morning, and I go into the garden of the hotel and sit down and study the book of Zechariah. Now, we'd been around having a look at the sites, etc. And one thing we found that was very strange. Now, this is Greece. You'd expect to see a lot of olive trees, wouldn't you? We couldn't see any olive trees at all. We saw lots of pistachio trees, fig trees. What? Eucalyptus. Yeah, eucalyptus, given by the Republic of Australia, some gift at some point in the past. But we saw no olive trees. I thought this was really strange. Anyway, just keep that in mind. So, it was a very, very nice holiday, wasn't it? The sand was a bit grey, wasn't it? Dark, yes. So we might write to the authorities if they can put that up. Yes, it was a good time. And I did study the book of Zechariah. And the reason I'm telling you all this is because that was the time when I believe that God spoke to me out of this passage. And as we've just seen, you know, the purpose of Israel is to be a light to the Gentiles. And likewise, you cannot really get all the light that you'd want to out of the Jewish Bible unless that is a Jewish light, because it's a Jewish book. And so I felt that God was saying to me, I want you to teach the church the scriptures from a Jewish perspective, from a Hebraic point of reference, if you like. And I thought, gosh, this is... I didn't hear any voices. I don't hear voices. But you know how you sort of hear these things. And there I was, sitting in the garden of the hotel. Sarah was sunning herself on the beach somewhere. And I looked up, and the garden had a gardening bed of things on the other side. We'd been there for a few days. I'd never noticed it, really. And I looked up, and I was flabbergasted. Do you know what I saw? No, a lampstand. And on either side of that lampstand was an olive tree. No, it wasn't the menorah. Okay, give me a break, all right? But it was a lampstand. You know where light comes from? And there were two olive trees on an island where we saw no olive trees, planted on either side of this lampstand. I do have photographs. What do you think? Do you think that maybe God was saying something to me? It's amazing, isn't it? And so I've been trying to do this for a long time. If nothing else, because the church does not know what is missing by not knowing these things. They have no idea. And I think it's so sad. It is so sad. So anyway, that is my call. That is the end of my morning session. And would you believe, I still have 9 minutes and 53 seconds. Wow. 2, 1. I started, this is his fault again, isn't it? So there we are. Enjoy your morning. Enjoy all the things that are available for you. Do you know this body of ours? Are you an ear? Are you an ear? Are you a mouth? Are you a foot? Are you a finger? If you don't do what you're supposed to do, this body is not going to function. You know, I've got a hurt in my toe. and my body doesn't function as well as it should because I have a hurt in my toe. So go and explore your giftings so that the body can be built up for the glory of God and for your blessing. For your blessing. And you know something? While you'll be blessed, you'll be blessing God. Because before you were born, He had a plan for you. And you cannot perform and do your plan without using the giftings that He's given you so that you can do that. And I think it was Sarah was praying yesterday, those gifts that you have, open them. How are you going to use them if you don't open them? They're covered up. Open them. They're God's blessings to you. Praise God. Bless God. Bless each other. Let's have a ball. God bless.